I would first like to start by wishing a happy Mother's Day to all the mothers of our parish, and especially to Reverend Mother Agnes CMRI, Mother Dominica CMRI, and to all of our religious sisters. Thank you so much for all you do for us. Secondly, I would like to thank everyone who supported me throughout my formation here at the City of Mary, whether through your material support or your prayers. I appreciate it very much. May God reward you abundantly. We read in the book of Genesis that God created men and women. And when he did, he made them distinct from one another, physically, mentally, and emotionally. He made them to complement one another, each one supplying that which the other one lacks. And he did this, he established this order, so that men and women would be able to fulfill the duties of their state. And one of these states, and it's very beautiful and mysterious because God created it, is motherhood. God gave to women a body, a mind, and a heart suited for this specific purpose. They're designed for it by their very nature. The vast majority of women are called to natural motherhood. That is, they get married, they settle down, they raise a family. A few select are called to a higher state of perfection. They enter the religious life. They wed Christ. But both of these are called in a way to be mothers. To the mothers of this parish, I want to encourage you to be steadfast in your vocation. Motherhood is a job that you work 7 days a week, 365 days a year. No days off, no paid vacations. It's very demanding physically and mentally. I remember one time I babysat for my sister. She had 4 kids, all under the age of 7. After about half an hour, I was done. I didn't want to do that job anymore, never again. That's her vocation. God gave her the strength and the patience to bear with those kids. I mean, they would drive you crazy. Mothers, remember that your children are always watching you. You hear maybe a spouse say to a spouse or a spouse to a sibling, hey, keep an eye on the kids. The kids are keeping an eye on you. They're like little sponges. They soak up everything we do and say. They mimic you. And so you have, especially when the children are younger, you have that, of course you have the duty as parents, as mothers, but you have the opportunity to instill in them a love for God, a love for the practice of virtue, because they're watching everything you do. If you're virtuous, if you pray, if you're patient, if you're modest, they're going to naturally absorb those traits of yours. Those who wish to teach must first themselves practice. So if you want pious children, you have to show them what it means to be pious. I encourage the mothers here to pray for their children, that they fulfill their vocation well. We know how difficult it is in this day and age to live our Catholic faith. It's not easy. The entire world is basically against us. And also encourage you to never give up hope on a child, an older child, that has perhaps drifted away. We see this sometimes. But we know well that St. Monica prayed for her son, Augustine, St. Augustine, for 20 years of her life. She prayed and sacrificed for her son. And look at what fruit was wrought by her patience, by her love, and by her sacrifice. Her wayward son, who was a Manichaean at one point, he became a bishop, a doctor of the church, and most importantly, just like his mother, he became a saint. To our religious sisters, there's a few here today, you are like our spiritual mothers. From kindergarten to fourth or fifth grade, that is such a crucial time in the life of a child. Events that happen in that time stick with us forever. If we have the privilege to attend a Catholic school, we're usually taught mostly by religious women. And just like mothers at home, these religious sisters have the responsibility to form the mind, heart, and soul of their students. And what deep and lasting impressions does this formation leave? You can always tell someone who's been to a Catholic school and was taught by religious sisters their decorum in church, the way they pray, the way they receive communion. You can always tell this person was formed by a sister. How many of us here can look back with a smile on the good memories of our Catholic school days? And it's interesting, at least for me, it was the corrections I received, a lot of corrections, that I'm most thankful for and that have stuck with me the most. At the time, those corrections were painful. Our fallen human nature doesn't like to be corrected. Our pride doesn't like to be told that we did something wrong, we stepped over the line. But over time, you realize that the only reason the sisters gave us those corrections is because they loved us. They had a supernatural love for our good, for the salvation of our souls. How could we talk about Mother's Day and not say anything about Our Lady? That would be unbelievable. When she appeared at Guadalupe in 1531, she said to Juan Diego, "Am I not here who am your loving mother? Are you not under the under my shadow and protection?" And what is she saying here? She's letting Juan Diego know, and then, and by Juan Diego, all of us, he represents the whole human race. She's letting us know that we can come to her with any problem, and she will assist us. She will infallibly help us with any struggle we have. And also, that in all the trials and difficulties of this life that we're all going to have to go through at some point, all these crosses, we're not alone. She's right there with us. We're under her shadow. That means she's standing right by our side. I'd like to end with a story. When I was very young, probably 5 or 6, I'll have to give some background first. There's a group of traditional Dominican sisters in Highland, Michigan. And they're under the direction of Bishop Robert Neville. And he was a priest at the society that left the Society of St. Pius X in the mid-1980s, perhaps. And he was consecrated by Bishop McKenna. And so he has a dozen or so religious sisters. And they called my parents and asked for our help clearing out the side of the convent that had become overgrown and tangled with brush and all sorts of stuff. So we went there and we worked all day on the convent. And at the end of the day, my dad said, "Now you're going to go ask these sisters to pray for you because you want to be a priest." "Yeah, I want to be a priest. I do want to be a priest." "Okay, well, you're going to go ask them to pray for you." I don't want to talk to them. I didn't know these sisters. I mean, I was happy to help them, but I didn't want to talk to them. So at the very end, everyone's getting in the car and leaving. My dad says, "You go over there right now and you go tell them, please pray for me because I want to be a priest." And I was very shy as a kid, so I walked up and they're already all turned around. They're heading back into the convent. And I say, "Excuse me, sisters." And then 15 veiled faces turn around me at once. I felt very small and very alone. And I just started crying. I just, through my sobbing, I guess, I just asked him, "Would you please pray for me? I want to be a priest." And there was one sister there. I'll never forget her because she had a lazy eye. She had one eye that would kind of trail off this way. And she knelt down. She gave me a hug. And the minute she gave me that hug, it was like all my fear, anxiety, all my fear, everything just melted away. And that's probably the closest I'll ever get in this life to getting a hug from Our Lady, because that's what it felt like. I mean, it was like a grace. So to our religious sisters, thank you. You really are like other Marys, right? So let us pray today for our mothers. Let us thank them for all they do for us. And to our mothers and religious sisters, may our Blessed Lady grant to you a share in the love of her maternal heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.